Okay, welcome back. We're going to talk again about freedom of speech in the United States and how crucial it is and how very much certain special interest groups want it to go away. They want to take it away. They don't want us to be able to speak our mind, to have our own opinions. They don't want to admit that every state in the union has more than enough laws on the books to take care of people who are out of line with it. I mean, we've got people in this country who have thought about this for decades and decades. Laws have been passed. We don't need hate laws on the books here. They have been nothing but a source of catastrophe and abuse wherever they've been instituted. And I mean Europe, even Canada. Ask anyone. If you've been following the stories that we've been reporting here at Rents.com, you'll know that hate laws are grotesquely abused by special interest groups of many different stripes. So with that in mind, I thought I'd ask Reverend Ted Pike to come back on tonight and tell us where we are. If you'll have followed the story at all, you'll know that the hate law, if you can call it that, was passed in the Senate as an amendment to the military appropriations bill. Now, President Bush has promised repeatedly he will veto the bill. He will not ever sign a bill with any kind of a hate law attached to it or floated by its own merits, if you can call it merits, in any case. So let's find out from Ted Pike where we are right now. Welcome back, Ted.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for having me.
Sure.
Last Thursday, the federal hate bill was passed, 60-39, and that was only one vote margin. And what is very disconcerting...
It was one vote.
One vote. Only one vote.
And now, that wasn't a bill by itself, remember. That was the vote to add it as an amendment, I guess, to the military appropriations bill. Wow.
Yes. Now, what is very, very disconcerting, very troubling, is that that bill would not have passed if the new right religious leaders and the members of the Republican contingent in the Senate had done their job of opposing this hate bill in the days and the weeks preceding it.
They quit.
Yeah, they did. There was a tremendous vacuum, a tremendous lack and blank out on the Internet websites of any information, any alerts in the days preceding the final vote on Thursday morning. And basically, this goes back to early September. As our listeners are probably aware, we have had a mushrooming, burgeoning a protest to the hate bill ever since about January. And our National Prayer Network has been in the vanguard of that. But other big organizations like Focus on the Family, Concerned Women for America, American Family Association, and so on, have been doing a real job earlier in this year of getting literally millions of calls going into the House and the Senate and so on. Unfortunately, the hate bill was passed in May by the House. But I always felt we had a much better chance in the Senate. And everything was going fine about until September. And at that time, I sent out an email alert in which I cautioned the new right leaders. And I should mention that all these new right organizations do get my e-alerts. In fact, the number of them have told me they read them and have even gone to truthtellers.org, where we have all of this archived. And anyway, around the first week of September, I became very concerned that there might be some complacency of people, supporters, thinking, well, let George Bush veto the hate bill, let him save freedom, and so on. And so I sent out this e-alert, and I said, the people must defeat the hate bill. The credit must go to the people. We must have a clean kill by a public referendum in the Senate. This is very important because in further administrations, further Congresses, and so on, even if they are liberal and pro-hate bill, the record must be there that the people shouted very loudly, very emphatically, that we will not stand for a hate crimes bureaucracy being established in America,
right,
like Canada.
Right.
And I also made it very clear that if the president were given the privilege of vetoing the hate bill and it were passed, were allowed to pass by the Senate, we'd only have about a year of reprieve, and then that hate bill would be dignified and exalted as legislation approved by both houses of Congress. You see, since 1998, the hate bill has suffered under the stigma and the bad reputation of being unpassable legislation. It's been defeated five times, and if we could just defeat it again, and we'd go into the next administration hobbled and crippled by this stigma.
Sure.
But so I sent out these warnings, and tragically, I believe, James Dobson, I don't know whether you read mine, but I do know that Focus on the Family does read my emails.
Mm-hmm.
Tragically, he went on the air sometime in the middle of September. I don't know the exact date, but he took exactly the opposite point of view. He said President Bush can be trusted. He's this fine, upstanding Christian conservative, born-again president, and we can give him our absolute confidence. And also, Dobson began making the point that the hate bill was a less dangerous species of hate crimes legislation than ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which, by the way, is up for a vote pretty soon in the House of Representatives.
Okay.
And so, just following Dobson's broadcasts, I have a friend in the religious right, a Guy Adams, who's a real insider. He was a top person with Alan Key's organization, and he knows literally dozens of these new right leaders. He called 30 of them, imploring them to take action just a couple of weeks ago to alert their troops against the hate bill. What he found was a third of them had completely given up on any idea of defeating the hate bill. And the most of the remainder believed, along with Dobson, that we had nothing to worry about because the whole thing was taken care of by President Bush.
Now, all right, go ahead.
Now, that brings us into the events of last week.
Uh-huh.
It's true that the religious leaders did send out two or three of them sent out an alert about a week before the hate bill passed, which
mm-hmm.
was last Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they had no compelling argumentation in there saying why we should defeat the hate bill rather than the president. They said this is bad legislation, and it'll lead to freedom of speech and the freedom of speech and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But they had no compelling motivation there for people to get up out of their couches and go over and make those calls and really exert themselves. As a result, what we were finding, we were taking daily polls of senators, Republican senators, at the beginning of last week,
mm-hmm.
and every day we were finding just a tiny trickle of calls relatively coming in there.
Ted, excuse me.
Yes.
Do you smell a rat here?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about just a normal rat. I'm talking
uh-huh.
about a bigger rat.
Yeah. Well, it gets worse, Jeff.
Let me say one other thing uh-huh. to our listeners. I know a lot of you will say, gee, Ted Pike again. We're talking about the future of true, honest talk radio programming.
Yes.
Not just my program, but others. They will all be targeted. For example,
yes.
if anyone criticizes the state of Israel, they will likely be targeted. And they already are being targeted. It's
yes.
not okay to do that. Never mind what Secretary of State Colin Powell said. Criticism of the state of Israel and its policies toward the Palestinians and its neighboring states, etc., has nothing whatsoever to do with so-called anti-Semitism. It doesn't matter. Anybody criticizing Israel, anybody criticizing any number of special interest groups is going to be targeted. This is going to destroy freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and freedom of the press in this country, what's left of it. So
yeah.
it's not a joke. This is a huge, huge situation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'll just add just a little bit to what you're saying. You see, the original hate crimes law, which was passed in 1968,
yeah.
Makes it very clear in Title 18 U.S.C., Section 2, that if anyone who is in a position of influence, whether we're in the pulpit or on talk radio or a publisher or a writer, makes statements that
or even a politician, whatever.
Yeah, or aid and abet.
Mm-hmm.
If these statements, these verbal statements,
mm-hmm.
aid
mm-hmm.
and abet and encourage some loony to act, go berserk and attack a Jew or a homosexual or whatever, either to intimidation or actual violence.
How can they prove then, such a thing, though? I mean, it could be a television commercial.
I
it could be anything.
That's the thing. It's very subjective, very intangible. But that person of influence will be tried along with the lunatic who actually committed the crime.
Like a mass murderer, a serial killer, anybody.
Right.
I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, so. You see, now this law has been on the books now for many decades.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never been able to be put into effect because of something called states' rights. states' rights says that the government has to stay out of local law enforcement, except in a number of emergency types of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the whole reason behind this hate bill is, to break down states' rights in law enforcement so the federal government can come in any time and enforce exactly this law.
That's totalitarianism in the wrong.
Yeah, that's right. So unfortunately, this law, there's no kind of a warm-up or break-in period for this law. If it should be unvetoed by the president, it can be acted on immediately from the federal level. And
okay.
We could. Yeah, so I'll continue with this, this travesty.
Hold on just a minute. We'll pick that thread up. Again, I'm just a little perplexed at the incredible trust that the religious right, of which I'm not a member, has for President Bush to protect the Americans' right to free speech, as he's promised. I mean, the man is not known for, shall we say, holding to the truth. This is really concerning. And I again, Ted, I don't mean to be paranoid, but I'm pretty intuitive, and I smell something very big here, very wrong. I'll be right back in just a minute with Reverend Ted Pike. We are literally one signature away from losing our freedom of speech. And you watch what happens at talk radio. It will change overnight. Programs will no longer talk about certain subjects. They'll disappear. It's real simple. And I'm not talking just about our kind of program here. You don't think that some of the racists on the radio who are attacking Arab Americans and others aren't going to be sued? They're all going to be sued. This is nuts. We don't need any more legislation in this country. Probably for most anything. We've got plenty of laws on the books. All they have to do is be honored, updated when necessary, and enforced. So go ahead, Ted.
Yes. The real drama on this begins the beginning of last week on Tuesday morning, when Senator Kennedy took the podium and he demanded that the Federal Hate Crimes Amendment be voted on immediately.
How did he get away with that?
Well, he was demanding cloture, or an end of debate, and a call for there hadn't been any debate before then, but he wanted it ended right there and go right ahead. And Majority Leader Reid acceded to that. So the next stage was to have a vote, and there were some delays, and the delays kept going for about 2 days. Now, during this two-day period, we're talking about last Tuesday and Wednesday, the Senate was open for comment by on any subject by any senator who wanted to come forward. This was a kind of an open invitation, and Senator Kennedy came forward, Senator Reid came forward, Senator Smith came forward, and others, and they passionately argued in defense, in favor of the hate bill. But there was not one Republican senator who stood up until the very end of those 2 days, which was Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, and he gave some very good arguments, limited, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, but for 2 days, these so-called bulwarks of the opposition to the hate bill, like Senator Brownback, Senator Kyle, and others, did not do anything to oppose the hate bill. Now, during that period also, the religious right seemed to be cooperating with them, because when Senator Kennedy demanded a vote on the hate bill, that should have sent shockwaves through 30 million evangelicals in America, and these new right organizations should have sounded instant alerts by email and radio and internet and so on, but they were absolutely silent for those 2 days. during this crisis
period. That's really unprecedented.
Yeah, and just remember, people like Dobson and Focus on the Family, they have mm-hmm. paid staff who, mm-hmm. who are there,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
their job as legislative assistants is to mm-hmm. keep an eagle eye exactly mm-hmm. on what's going on in the Congress, and it is inconceivable that they didn't know what was going on.
They knew exactly what was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and I was sending them my emergency alerts, all of which mm-hmm. you put up on rents.com. I was sending all those to them. They mm-hmm. were getting there, but there was a conspiracy to go dead. And furthermore, we polled, for example, on Wednesday, just before the hate bill vote, we polled 38 Republican senators. We found some of them had not received, we're talking about Wednesday afternoon, had not received a single call all day against the hate bill. The maximum calls
how
about
can
50,
that be?
About 50 calls came in at the most, and maybe 20 or 10 at an average. There was a complete dry up of all alerts from the new right. Now, finally, on Wednesday afternoon, just as the senatorial offices, Eastern Standard Time, would soon be closing, suddenly Focus on the Family and Traditional Values Coalition and Family Research Council all made a big hullabaloo. Oh, we got to get calls going in, you know. But, of course, very little came in. There wasn't any time. And then the following morning at 10 o'clock a.m., the senators were already in the Senate beginning to have final deliberations on the hate bill and a vote. And there were four Republicans who came up and spoke for about 2 minutes each. And then Orrin Hatch gave some excellent presentations, several. But it was really too little, too late. And these evangelicals could have brought a minimum of 3 million calls in. They've done it many times before. American Family Association alone can generate 2 million calls. And yet there was virtually nothing coming in on the eve of the hate bill passage.
All right. We've got a break coming up here. What we need to do is try and figure out what happened and why. It just can't be that they said, all right, Bush will take care of us. We don't have to do anything. So everybody stand down.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's strange. So when does this actually go? Well, we'll talk about this in just a minute with Ted Pike. If people want to get in touch with you, Ted, give your contact information, please.
Yes, at truthtellers.org, I have a very detailed commentary all through last week of these incredible events. In fact, I was probably... Our National Prayer Network has been the only watchdog organization who has been alerting people, the whistleblower on this tremendous travesty of justice and confidence. These organizations, you see, they had been promising to defeat the hate bill, and now they seem to have reversed their position. A great breach of confidence to their followers, and actually wanted the hate bill passed. And this is all at truthtellers.org. We have some good articles there. Get those articles, print them out, and spread them very widely around, because these new right leaders now want to sweep this under the rug and go on to other issues and so on, and that's simply not right.
All right, hold on. And it's really sad that we have to rely on the new right when this is an issue that all of America, clearly, if it was understood by most people, would stand up and complain about it and do something about it. And we're having to rely on one group to take care of this. This is our constitutional right that is being challenged, literally. And it's one signature away from being gone. Be right back. Talking about defending our First Amendment, and it's a real shame that more Americans do not understand what a threat they face. It's huge. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, as we stand right now, the You see, this bill has passed the House of Representatives. It's now passed the Senate. So it's now it's going to conference between the House and the Senate.
Now, this is a full House and full Senate, or these committees?
Right. That's right. So it's been passed by the Congress of the United States. It's now elevated, as I say, to a new status as a bill that is no longer bears the stigma of being perpetually rejected. Mm-hmm. And now it goes to conference. But you see, the military appropriations bill that this the legislation was added to is 2 months overdue. We're talking about the necessary supplies for not only our forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, but the whole world is now waiting and it is overdue. And President Bush, of course, promised back in August 4th that he would veto, he would send this arms bill plus the hate bill back to the Senate if they passed it and demand that they cut the hate bill off.
He doesn't have a line item veto.
No, he has no line item veto on this legislation. It's all or nothing. That's why Kennedy was so determined to attach the hate bill to the arms bill. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's getting under increasing pressure with every day to get some kind of resolution on the arms bill. And and it as the time goes on, you see, it's going into conference now, and these Democrats control conference. And again, they can dawdle around, they can delay, they can argue, and it only works for them because it puts greater and greater pressure on President Bush. And Senator Kennedy says he's confident that basically they can back down Bush by dawdling around, I guess, until he has no other choice than to go back on his word and say, I would have loved to have cut the hate bill off, but, you know, we've got a war to win in the Middle East. We've got troops all over the world waiting for an overdue arms appropriations bill. So, you know, the my speculation, and I don't have proof of this, but my speculation is that Dobson and the new right senators and perhaps the White House conceived this brilliant idea of actually passing the hate bill in order to provide a stage for President Bush to come forward on his white horse and grandstand, take his lance and run the hate bill through and become the new darling and hero of the religious right, in contradiction to the bad reputation he's gotten for taking away our freedoms and our privacy and so on through Homeland Security and Patriot Act and so on.
Anybody else suggesting that that's the case?
Well, I'm a kind of a lone voice. You see, I monitored this very closely, and I have a very deep vested interest in this hate bill issue. I've been fighting basically hate crime since 1988. And this is the kind of thing that unless you watch it very closely, it'll just kind of go under the radar, and new events and new distractions will come along, and no one will pick up on it. So fortunately, with your website, putting up my emails, and I've been on, let's see, about 12 talk shows just this week, getting the message out far and wide, and have spoken to more than 500,000 people, giving this information to them. But I don't have any proof what actually happened behind the scenes. It's my conjecture that this was the game plan. But I believe this could backfire tremendously on not only the new right, but all Americans, if Bush is forced to finally capitulate and say he will have to go ahead and leave the hate bill on. That will mean basically that the hate bill will become the law of the land, and unless he is determined not to enforce this law, I guess he has done that on a number of occasions, we will move definitely into a hate crimes bureaucracy just like Canada's.
If there was a way to pass a law in Congress that would forbid amendments to pieces of legislation that did not specifically relate to the primary bill, it would seemingly help a lot of issues. This is this is a prime example of really perverting the system.
Yes.
And corrupting it. And I've never liked it. I think a lot of you listening would agree. It's wrong. It's a misuse of the entire process. It should not be allowed to happen.
Yeah.
You amend a bill with material that amends the bill. You don't amend it with something that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
That's right. Well, now you see, America and our armed forces are being held hostage, literally.
Well, of course.
To the hate bill.
This is the Democrat strategy.
That's right. And they're against the war in Iraq as well as being pro-hate bill, so they're kind of winning on both fronts. They're sabotaging our military efforts and so on. But on the other hand, even if it were a standalone bill, it was a standalone bill that won in the House in May. Even at that, if the new right goes completely silent for 6 days preceding the vote, and if a Republican contingent in the Senate will not even take an opportunity in 2 days to stand up and speak against the hate bill, I mean, how can you win that way either? So there's been a tremendous treachery here.
Is it a treachery, Ted, or are people, and I go with you on that, but are some making the argument we're just tired of it, tired of the hate bill, tired of fighting it? Is there
My friend in the religious right, Guy Adams, said that the report was that everybody was saying people are tired of this issue. They're tired of fighting.
That's what I'm asking, yeah.
But it doesn't help when Dobson starts saying the hate bill is not that dangerous compared to the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and so on.
What?
I'm afraid I
excuse
just
me? I totally disagree.
Yeah, I mean, the hate bill is exponentially more dangerous.
Absolutely.
Than ENDA, because ENDA is a hate crimes bill in the workplace or in housing and employment and so on. But the hate bill is a vast Orwellian legislation that affects the Internet and talk radio and publishing and writing and freedom of speech in the pulpit. It's a much greater danger. And why Concerned Women for America and Dobson should start teaching the people that it's a lesser danger, I can't figure that one out.
No, it's bizarre. And nothing formally from Dobson and the right.
No, they're on to other things now. And, in fact, the following morning after the hate bill passed, both Dobson and Family Research Council came out with modest statements that it now had passed. No explanation of why they went silent for 6 days preceding it.
Weird.
And in fact, Tony Perkins of Family Research Council said that they had been on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, mm-hmm. and now he wanted $1.2 million to help them fight hate crimes and other issues in the future.
All right, hold on. I'll be right back. We've been talking about this. Ted's been fighting it for 19 years to keep our rights of freedom of speech intact. We really need to do so. I don't know if we can call when this conferencing goes on, and we'll find out more in just a minute. Just duck something else in here, Ted, not to change the subject entirely, but our freedoms are under attack from so many different directions now. Here's one that I've talked about a little bit on the program before. I run a number of stories over time on Rents.com about it, and this is written by Mark Nestman, privacy expert and president of the Nestman Group. He says, make sure you ask Big Brother's permission before you fly. Last year, says Mark, I wrote that if Uncle Sam gets its way, we'd all be on no-fly lists unless the government gives us permission to leave or re-enter the United States. Well, now the Transportation Safety Administration, the TSA, has proposed a similar system for travel on commercial airliners within the United States. Both systems will come into effect February 19, 2008, under the TSA's Advanced Passenger Information System, APIS, initiative. You'll need to obtain permission from the United States government to travel on any commercial airliner or ship that goes to or from the United States. You won't receive your boarding pass until you are cleared by APIS. You'll also need permission to travel through the United States, e.g., if you're changing planes at a U.S. airport on a trip between two foreign countries. It doesn't matter if you're a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident. Everyone will need permission to enter or leave the United States. Then, on August 23rd, 2007, the TSA issued proposed regulations for its secure flight program. This just a month and a half ago. And in that, the TSA wants commercial airlines to submit passenger information through a single Department of Homeland Security portal for both the secure flight and APIS programs. This would result in one DHS system responsible for watch list matching for all aviation passengers, all of them. Naturally, the entire process for both domestic and international travel will occur in total secrecy. So if you're denied permission to travel, you won't be able to appeal the decision to any court of law. Your only recourse will be through the TSA bureaucracy. Essentially, you'll be reduced to begging with the TSA to say something like, "Pretty please, please give me a boarding pass to try to have a chance to be able to travel." This is amazing. What this amounts to is essentially a reprise of the infamous internal passport system in effect in the former Soviet Union.
Yeah.
In 1933, Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin introduced internal passports that prohibited Soviet citizens from leaving their place of residence without permission. Over time, the internal passport became the prime instrument of Soviet oppression over its own people. It's bad enough needing to ask Uncle Sam for permission to leave the U.S. and re-enter it, but an internal passport is a blueprint for totalitarianism.
Yes.
Absolutely. This is what's happening, Ted. We won't be able to go anywhere in this country without permission.
Right. Yeah. You know, also, a very conspicuous part of Senator Kennedy and Reid's and Smith's argumentation last week was that hate crimes, domestic hate crimes here in America, are a form of domestic terrorism. Did you catch that? Domestic terrorism, that is the pretext that the government of Canada extradited Ernest Zundel to Germany, that he was a domestic terrorist for questioning the accuracy of the 6 million figure of the Holocaust.
And all he did was reprint somebody else's booklet about 10, 15 years ago.
Sure.
I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah, so what they're wanting to do is to, the argument was made repeatedly that the hate bill was relevant, it was applicable to an arms bill because hate crimes exist in the military, hate crimes exist here at home, and the military is fighting terrorism in the Middle East. We need to fight domestic terrorism or hate crimes here through a federal hate crimes law. So what they're wanting to do is basically make the pastors who criticize homosexuality, the free speech talk show hosts who criticize Israel and matters Jewish and so on, into domestic terrorists so we all can be legally indicted under Homeland Security laws.
That's going to take care of the media. Any dissent or any questioning or any open discussion will be forbidden. No one will be, they'll be afraid, frightened to open their mouths. This will be literally a return to the same kind of mass fear, paranoia, psychosis, and draconian laws that existed in the Soviet Union in the darkest days.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think already the Anti-Defamation League, who is behind all of these hate laws worldwide, is wanting to start pinpointing leaders that they would like to have jailed and put out of commission. And just this week, I became aware that the ADL has an 11-page spread, an attack against me on their website. And it's filled with nothing but very good quotes from my career since 1984, but they've got the swastikas there and the KKK symbols.
Well, they're slandering and smearing you.
That's
slander.
Right. And, yeah. And by the way, I mentioned earlier today that or yesterday that you are also listed as an anti-Semite and John Stadtmiller and others. What they're wanting to do now with almost imminent possibilities of setting up this hate crimes Gestapo here in the United States, they're wanting now to lift to public attention certain ringleaders and opinion makers like all of us in Republican Genesis Network and so on, and begin to vilify us so that we will be prime targets for removal and indictment. And you see, since this law, since the 1968 original hate law, makes it a federal crime, a felony, to use your speech to influence people towards acts of intimidation or violence. You see, theoretically,
that apparently includes professional journalism.
Exactly, and if you have some loony who does some kind of a hate crime, and he says, "Well, I listened to Jeff Rentz a month ago, and he was critical of Israelis' treatment of Palestinians, so I went down to the synagogue and I started hitting on smashing the windows and burned the synagogue or whatever." Then they can get a direct line of causation back to Jeff Rentz in your program, you see, and you will be indicted under this hate crimes law.
And so will the network.
That's right.
And any sponsors involved with the programming.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing has no limit to the potential.
That's right. You know, with the success of Mearsheimer and Walt and their blockbuster book,
right,
which is tremendously successful. I guess it's number 10 on, I don't know, New York Times list or whatever. The ADL is just frantic about the truth that is spreading throughout America. I have videos now. I think I have about 140,000 viewings of my videos just on Google, and Alex Jones has them on his websites too, and so on. They're just really ADL is foaming at the mouth, and I think what they're trying to do here is to have a crackdown now on free thinking here in America, because America is really quite a hotbed of criticism of Israel, despite the delusions of the evangelical right and despite the pro-Zionist lobby and the Bush administration and so on. Nevertheless, we've had a tremendous window of opportunity here to speak the whole truth about Zionism and its oppressions of the Palestinians and evil Jewish leaders in control of the media here in the United States and so on. And we've kind of had a free ride, and the Jewish leaders have wrung their hands and said, what in the world can we do about this? And I think ADL is kind of the attack dog of B'nai B'rith International and these international Jewish organizations, and they're really wanting now to bite down like they did against those Christians in Philadelphia in 2004. They're wanting to get tough here and start having some do the David Irving and the Zundel thing against Ted Pike and Jeff Rentz and all of us who are playing such an important role in keeping the truth alive on these crucial issues.
I'm always hearkening back to the words of an angry Colin Powell, who said criticism of the Israeli government or the policies of Israel has nothing whatsoever to do with so-called anti-Semitism.
Uh-huh.
Of course it doesn't. It's a geopolitical issue.
Yeah.
And the extermination, the genocide of the Palestinian people and the stealing of their land has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. It's a geopolitical issue of utter barbarity. Doesn't matter who's perpetrating it. Anyone in that position is going to be criticized, whether
yes,
it be Catholic, Jewish, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole thing is beyond belief. And folks, we are really that close to losing freedom of speech. And I just read you a story about TSA's plans and DHS and what they want to do about you being able to hop on a plane and go visit your in-laws or your cousins or your friends or a class reunion or a sporting event. You're going to need permission if these things go through. And they're
yeah,
on the books. They
yeah,
are on the books.
You know, Jeff, the closest thing I can give for people to do right now would probably be to call the White House. Obviously, this is kind of obscene because the president has promised twice to veto the hate bill, but the people really should let him know that they remember that vividly.
And they also, by the way, let him know that, and let him know you support him in that particular issue.
Yes.
You don't have to
right,
say you support him in anything else, but just
no,
Give him a vote of support for that, because for that, for whatever reason, he's standing on the right side of the Constitution.
That's right. The toll-free number to the White House is 202-456-1111. Again, that's 202-456-1111.
202-456-1111. And they'll have people there taking calls 24-7, I guess.
That's right.
All right. Give them a call, folks. Let them know what you think. Veto that military appropriations bill with that hate law amendment. We don't need it. All right. Thanks, Ted. Keep in touch.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
And thanks to you for being here and choosing to spend your time with us. We'll be back tomorrow night with another program. See you then.